Well, good morning, friends. I'd like to talk a little bit about our passage from Luke this morning. In a world that struggles to pay attention, one does not have to work very hard to go unnoticed. A young child seeks attention of their parents in a home filled with a dozen wireless devices. A middle-aged man walks into a break room and sits down with his coworkers, only to be ignored and not really invited to join the conversation. And likewise, a teenage girl posts a selfie on social media, but none of her friends click like or leave a comment. They are sending her a message without sending her a message. No one chooses to feel invisible or unseen. Yet for those of us who have felt this way or possibly feel this way, you are not alone. The woman in our story from Luke today understood the reality of being invisible. According to New Testament commentator James R. Edwards, people with physical deformities were expected to remain socially invisible, especially if they were women. And women rarely, if ever, approached rabbis, nor did rabbis, as a rule, speak directly to them. Now, in our story, the leader of the synagogue correctly surmises that the Sabbath is a time to obey and respect God's laws. But what he fails to understand is the reasoning behind those laws, which is to observe God's will and to do God's work. Now, Jesus understood that the prohibition of manual labor on the Sabbath was counterweighted by a command for increased spiritual activity. And by healing this woman, Jesus is observing the Sabbath in the best way possible, by offering release, rest, and restoration. The reconciliation given by Jesus meant that the woman in our story from this point forward could live her life according to God's rhythm, which she begins to do right away by praising God. She's no longer bound to silence or invisibility. Now, in our story, Jesus has a twofold objective. He is affirming the woman's value as a child of God, and he is offering a new understanding of God's laws to the leader of the synagogue. Now, it appears that the leader of the synagogue is not open to his advice, but before we rush to judging him or his followers, let's remember that some 2,000 years later, there are people who still struggle with seeing the mentally or physically disabled as being equal in value to themselves. This judgment of social identity often extends to the marginalized or the unhoused in our community. Additionally, this woman in our story would be facing the challenge of living in a patriarchy, a society where the rights of men were privileged and the ability to advocate for herself would be practically non-existent. So this woman endured two types of hardship: the physical toll of living with her condition, and the psychological toll of being rendered invisible due to her infirmity and gender. Even so, Luke tells us there is one who sees things differently, who sees people differently. We read in Scripture that Jesus saw her and called to her. Now, fortunately for her, the eyes of Jesus are trained to see the forgotten, to see those in need, and those who would otherwise go unnoticed. Now, perhaps it's this way of seeing humanity through the eyes of Christ which inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 2 Corinthians, "From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer see him that way." I think what Paul is driving at here is that we should first see the God-given value in all people, because that is how Christ saw us first. Now, through this simple act of seeing and speaking to her, Jesus broke with the established tradition and began the first steps in healing years' worth of trauma. But as great as it is that Jesus sees her, he does more. He acts and brings about complete and restorative healing to the woman's situation. Not simply a physical healing, which I'm sure would have been good enough, but in his rebuke to the teachers of the synagogue, he refers to this woman as a daughter of Abraham. This wording is deliberate, and in using it, he publicly restores this woman's position in society and is calling out the establishment for its treatment of the marginalized. This is the God we serve, a God who sees us where we are and calls us to him. He does not turn his face away from the infirmities or maladies which chain our minds and bodies and prevent us from following him with a full heart. But not everyone rejoices at the pattern which unfolds. We are told the leader of the synagogue responds with indignation when he sees what has happened. Now, I don't know about you, but some of my favorite Bible stories are when Jesus shuts down misdirected thinking with wisdom and sound logic. And in our story today, Jesus does not spare his detractors or mince words. He openly calls them hypocrites. And he unleashes the argument that if one is willing to unbind an ox or donkey on the Sabbath and give it water, how much more should we be willing to unbind this woman who has been bound for 18 years? His simple wisdom strikes hard and leaves the people speechless. And it's in this way that Jesus sees past the customs and dogma of a rigid system and finds the person underneath which the system is meant to serve. The reference to the ox or donkey was not just an argument in favor of liberation or freedom, no, but of providing the necessary nourishment and sustenance for the livelihood of that creature. This is as true for people as it is for animals. And this brings us to the true purpose behind the Sabbath tradition, to allow God's creation to rest and recharge. This command was not just for humans or animals, but for the land itself. In Leviticus 25, it is commanded that the land will have a year of rest every 7 years. And farmers were instructed to let their lands lie fallow, refrain from planting, pruning, or harvesting. And the produce that grew naturally during this year was to be shared with the poor and left for the animals. This practice was intended as a form of rest for the land and a demonstration of trust in God's provision. It is a reminder that all of creation belongs to God, and we are merely tenants in that creation. And indeed, the science behind modern farming has confirmed there is value in this ancient wisdom. And so be warned, for those among us who enjoy their rules and regulations perhaps a little too much, Jesus will pose a challenge for you. The church is not meant to be a country club, a health spa, or a gated community. Rather, a place where those who have felt God's mercy and grace working in their lives are empowered to see others through the same lens which set them free. The lesson that we encounter in our reading from Luke today reminds us that when we feel invisible in a world which struggles to pay attention, embrace these words of comfort. Jesus sees you. He always will. So take heart, and like the woman in our story today, lift your head, stand up straight, and start praising God. Amen.